Wilder Smith is my name, and when we were considering getting engaged, we made a policy that if we should have children, we would bring them up to love God's word. And that needs a definite engagement to do that in the between the two partners. And that means collaboration from your wife, and this is my wife Beata here, and she'd tell you how we set about doing it.
It was our habit every evening before our four children went to bed to tell them a gripping Bible story from the Old Testament or from the New Testament. If they heard the Word of God as the last thing of the day, we thought it would sink better into their minds. And how they loved the Bible stories. They loved David and Goliath. They loved the Daniel stories. They loved Joseph, Samson, and Delilah. They just couldn't go to bed without their Bible story, and they lived in it. So when in the evening the call rang through the house, the story, the Bible story, everybody ran and came and gathered together in the children's, in one of the children's bedroom, and father and mother came, the children came, even our au pair girls came, and sometimes if we had guests, they also came, and they listened to the Word of God. And this was the daily family hour, the family event. And the moment was, this was the great moment of the day.
The stories we told were after this sort of style. There was a man whose name was Jacob, and he had lots of children, about 12. Now, he was a very nice old man, but he was a bit unwise. You know what a favorite is in a family, do you? That you prefer one child to the other, and you have a favorite. And he had a favorite in his family, and the favorite was called Joseph. And he spoiled him. He gave him a wonderful coat with sleeves on it, a coat of many colors, it says in the old translation. And, of course, the other kids didn't get a nice coat like that, you know, a nice gown, you might call it. So the other kids, they got very jealous of Joseph. And the father, because he saw the other kids wouldn't speak decently to him, they couldn't say a friendly word to him, because they hated him. He had all sorts of privileges which the other kids didn't get. And you know what that does in a family, don't you, if you prefer one kid before the others? If all, one gets all the favors and the others get nothing, they get jealous of one another, and they can't speak a pleasant word to one another. Well, now, Joseph, one day, I think he must have eaten too many beans or too many steaks. Anyway, he dreamt, and he had a dream. And when he woke up in the morning, he told his brothers and his father and mother, Jacob and his mother, he told them what he dreamt. And do you know what he dreamt? He dreamt that they were out getting the harvest in. And you know, in those days, they used to cut the corn down and then bind it into sheaves. And then you stack the sheaves up in the field to make a shock. You don't know these terms, do you? And he dreamt that the sheaves and the shocks of the mother and father and the other brothers and sisters all bowed down before his own sheaf, so that they worshipped the shock of Joseph, the brother. And then he dreamt that the moon and the sun and the 11 stars all bowed down and worshipped him. Now, when the other brothers and sisters heard that, he thought he was going to be, you know, God of the universe. They were furious with him, and they hated him. Now, it's very nasty in a family if there's hate in the family, isn't it? So the father said to Joseph, he took him aside into his own private tent. He said, "Now, Joseph, you mustn't do things like that. You know that I love you very much. But if you go on like this, you'll break up the family. You can't do things like that. So one day, Joseph's brothers went out into the wilderness, where there are patches of grass, you see, to feed his father's sheep, their father's sheep. And after they'd been away for a long time, they didn't have any mail in those days, after they'd been away in a long time, the old father Jacob said to Joseph, "Now, my boy, I want you to go and visit your brothers where they're feeding and pasturing my sheep in the wilderness. Would you be so good as to go and visit them and bring me word that they're all right, there's nothing gone wrong with them?" So Joseph was always obedient to his father, because his father, you know, was very kind to him. So he set out alone to go and visit his brothers in the wilderness. And that was a hazardous business, because there were robbers there, you see, and there were wild animals. There were lions and there were wolves at night. But he went alone because his father had told him to go. And he got lost. And he was wandering around in the desert when he met another man who was wandering too. And the other man said, "What are you looking for?" So Joseph said to the man he met, he said, "I'm looking for my brothers. They're here feeding my father's sheep. Can you tell me where they are?" So he said, "Well, I overheard them when they went by me 2 or 3 days ago, and they were said they were going to Dothan because there was more grass there. If you go to Dothan, you'll find them." So Joseph thanked him very kindly for telling him where his brothers and were feeding his father's sheep. And he set off for Dothan, right through the wilderness alone. And at night, as he lay down, you know, and slept in his little tiny sleeping bag, he heard the wolves and the lions roaring quite near him. He was a bit afraid, because, you see, if they found him, they'd have eaten him quickly, because the mountain lions do that. So he went on towards Dothan after he'd slept. And when he came there, his brothers saw him from afar, because, you see, he had this wonderful gown of many colours on, with sleeves on it, which they didn't have. And when they saw him coming up to them, they had a little conference. They said, "What shall we do with the dreamer that has all these dreams? We'll show him that he's going to be king over us. What shall we do with him?" So they said, "Well, when he comes, don't say anything, but we'll kill him. And then we'll say that a wild beast has eaten him." Now, that was a kind thing to do, wasn't it? So when he came, they took him from behind, and Judah, one of his brothers, said, "Look, don't let's kill him, because if we kill him, we can't bring him back. And his father will die if Joseph dies, because he loves him so much. You see, he's his favorite." Now, that was wrong to have a favorite in the family. Anyway, they took him at Judah's advice, who said, "Don't cut his throat and kill him. Let's put him into one of the pits here in the desert," because there were lots of pits there where they tried to store the water when it did rain. It rained very little in the wilderness, but when the water did come down in the rain, they tried to put it in these pits, and this pit was empty. So they took Joseph, and they bound him hand and foot, and they threw him into the pit, right in the middle of the howling wilderness where all these wild animals were. And there was no water in the pit. And of course, when it's hot, you need water, don't you, to drink. And poor old Joseph landed at the bottom of the pit and couldn't get out. And they went outside the pit, the brothers, Reuben and all the others. And they sat down outside the pit while poor old Joseph was perishing of thirst. And they made a barbecue. And he heard them talking and eating their barbecue outside the pit. And he called and called and said, "Come, don't leave me here. I shall die if you leave me here." But they took no notice of him at all and didn't answer him in the least. So poor old Joseph was left there in the pit, and his brothers were eating their barbecue just outside the pit. Now, that was very nasty, wasn't it, not to share your meal. with your brother because you didn't like him. So after a time, after they had their barbecue and were really, you know, full up to the top, and poor old Joseph was empty down to the bottom. He was absolutely starving. They saw in the distance, coming over the horizon, a lot of camels. And these camels were a caravan, and they were Midianites, and they were taking their spices and wares and anything else they could find down to Egypt to sell, because they were the means of transport in those days. They didn't have any cars or any planes or anything like that. So they put them on camels' backs and took them down to Egypt to sell, and they lived on that, what they could sell. So one of them went over to the Midianites, to the leader of the camels, the one who had the big whip for the camels to drive them, you see. And they said, "Want to buy a slave?" And he said, "Yes," because he could sell a slave in Egypt, you see. So they said, "We got one. How much you give us for him?" So the Midianite said, "Well, let's have a look at him." So they told him where he was and fetched him out of the pit and took him to the leader of the caravan. And the leader of the caravan opened his mouth to see if his teeth were good, because he didn't want a slave with bad teeth, you see, because he's always at the dentist's and he didn't work then, so they didn't want that. So they looked at his teeth, and he got good teeth. He'd been brought up well, you see. Mum and Dad didn't give him a lot of lollipops or anything like that to ruin his teeth. And after they'd had a good look at him and tested his arms, whether he was strong, whether he got good muscles, biceps, you see, to work, they said, "Ah, well, we'll give you 10 silver coins for him." That was the currency they had in those days. So the brother said, "No, no, he's worth more than that. Don't you see, he's nice and fat. He can do a lot of work." So he said, "Okay, I won't argue with you, but if you want, I'll give you then 15. So in the end, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. And they pulled Joseph again out of the pit, because they put him back in the pit to see he didn't run off while they were arguing with the Midianites. And they took the money and put it in their pocket and sold their brother as a slave. They sold Joseph as a slave. Now Joseph begged them not to sell him as a slave, because Egypt was a terrible place to be sold as a slave. They whipped you all day and made you work all night. So they put the money in their pockets. But Joseph's coat of many colors, a birthday present from their dad, Jacob, they took his coat away and they kept it themselves. You see, they were jealous of that nice coat that that Joseph had. So they took this coat. Do you know what they did then? They killed a goat. And from the blood, they dipped the coat of many colors into the blood to make it look as though he'd been eaten and he'd bled, you see, before he died. And they packed up then this coat, which had all been made filthy with blood and had been torn. And they said, "Well, we're going back to our father now and take the sheep back and the goats back." And they took the coat with them. And they wrapped it up and they said, "Dad, we found in the desert this little parcel. It's a rather dirty-looking parcel, but we thought we'd better bring it along to you, because it looks like Joseph's coat to us. So we brought it home for you, because you gave it to him. Is this Joseph's coat?" They knew it was Joseph's coat. Of course they did. But they didn't tell their dad what they'd done. So the dad said, "Where did you find it?" "Oh," he said, "we found it in the wilderness. It was under a bush, so we packed it up and brought it home because we thought you might like it as a memento of Joseph, so that you think of Joseph. You've got something to remember him by." Well, when the poor old dad saw this coat found under a bush, he said, "Joseph has been eaten by a lion. And the lion couldn't digest the coat, so he left the torn coat under the bush. Now, what do you think about it, Dad? Here it is. So Dad took the coat, all filthy with blood and torn, and he said, "My son Joseph has been eaten by a lion." And he cried, and he cried, weeks, weeks long, because he said, "My son Joseph, my favorite son, has been eaten by a lion." Well, when their father had mourned, you know what to mourn means, don't you? Many, many days, all the sons and daughters of Jacob came and comforted him over the death of Joseph. Now, don't you think they were little liars to worry their father like that to death and say that Joseph was dead when they knew he wasn't dead? They knew he'd been sold as a slave into Egypt and that they'd taken the money for him. Don't you think that was a rather nasty thing to do? And you see, they saw their father was crying all day long for their son, and they tried to comfort him. Do you think they could comfort him? Do you think they could make him happy again? If they told him the truth, he wouldn't have cried so much, would he? But they told him the untruth. Little terrors, little beasts, weren't they, to do that to their father? And he says all of his children came to him and comforted him over the son who wasn't dead. Okay? Now, the Midianites took Joseph and they put a tree trunk split down the middle and made little holes in the middle of the tree trunk, and then they clapped the side of the tree trunk together, and all the slaves that they got they put in the holes of the tree trunk and clapped them all together so that they walked in the desert, bound together, not by chains, but a tree trunk clapped round their necks. 20 or 30 prisoners, slaves, who were going to be sold in Egypt, they made a march into Egypt, because they didn't carry them. They didn't put them in wagons or anything like that. They made them a walking tree trunk, going through the wilderness, all together, and their heads looking out of the top. That rubbed their neck, wouldn't it, as they walk and walk, and they're not all the same size. So the little ones would have been hung up in the tree trunk, and their legs wouldn't touch the ground, and the tall ones would have to carry the others, because they're taller. How would you like to go through the wilderness like that? So they pulled the tree trunk apart, took the cords off, and let the slaves out, because they were held together, you see, by the tree trunk. And called an auction market. Now you know what an auction is, don't you? They say, "Look, we've got so many prisoners here, so many slaves here. Who's the highest bidder? Who'll give most for them?" And so they sold Joseph to the highest bidder, the man who wanted to pay most for him. He came and looked at him, looked at his teeth, to see if his teeth were all right, and he looked at his arms to see if he got strong muscles. And the man who wanted him, after he had a good look at him, said, "This man comes from a good house. He's been well brought up. His teeth are not decayed, and he looks as though he's been well nourished. So I'll buy him." And do you know what the man's name was? His name was Potiphar, okay? And he was the captain of Pharaoh's guard. He was the captain. So he was a very important man, and he wanted a good slave because his wife wasn't much good. His wife didn't run the household properly, so he'd like a good slave to run the household. So he put Joseph in his household for a very short time and saw how Joseph did it. And after he'd been there a very short time, Joseph, you see, had been well brought up, although he was a bit of a sneak, you know, he told tales on his brothers. He'd been well brought up out of a good house. And he ran the household so fine, the dinner was already always on time when he had to do it, and the house was always clean. So Potiphar, after he'd had Joseph in his house for 2 or 3 weeks, he said, "Look here, man, you're the man I want. You're the head of the household now. You're still my slave. I don't pay you anything for what you do. But if you go on like you are doing, and I get my dinner on time, and the house is clean, he said, you can be the chief, and I'll give you some privileges, and you can go out for a walk in the evening, and I'll take your chains off, because the slaves were kept in chains, you see. So Joseph took that, and he ran that household for a long, long time. Now, I told you that that Potiphar's wife wasn't much of a lady. She was a bit of a daisy. She was a bit of a ne'er-do-well, okay? So, after a time, Joseph was a very good-looking man. She fell in love with him. Yeah, she did, with a slave. You think of a woman doing that. But she did. That's why I said she wasn't much good. But she fell in love with him, and she came and asked him to date her. You think that asking your slave, who's the servant in your house, to go and date you? And she pestered him day and night. And Joseph, do you know what he did? He said, look here, madam, because he was very polite, being brought up well. Look here, madam, I'm the slave in this house, and you're the mistress in the house. And you've got your own husband, Potiphar. I don't date another man's wife. My parents taught me not to do that. That's a sin against the Lord, and I won't do it. And you know, she got so mad at him that she told her husband that he'd tried to take her by force. When he came home, she was no good at all. But you see, Joseph said he'd been brought up to respect the law of Moses, and he wouldn't do that on any circumstances. So when Potiphar came home in the evening, and she told him this little fairy tale that he tried to take her by force, Potiphar was furious. I brought a slave into my house, and he tries to pester my wife. Not on any circumstances. I'm going straight to Pharaoh, the king. He was captain of the king's guard, so he could. And he told Pharaoh what he thought Joseph had done, because his wife, Potiphar's wife, wasn't any good and told lies about him. And Pharaoh said, okay, I've got a nice black dungeon. And we put people who do that in dungeons. So they bundled him off, tied him hand and foot, and put him into the dungeon. Now, when he was in the dungeon, Joseph hadn't forgotten that you should be kind to people who are having a hard time. And there were all sorts of people in that dungeon who were having a hard time. They'd been thrown in there too, probably because other people had lied about him, you see. And one was a baker, and one was a butler. Okay? And they looked very depressed one morning when Joseph brought them their breakfast, because Joseph was so efficient that the captain of the prison put him in charge of the whole prison, although he was a slave there and a prisoner himself. Joseph did everything that wanted doing in the prison, and he brought the butler and the baker their breakfast next morning, because he was the man who was responsible for it, although he was a slave. And Joseph said, why do you look so glum this morning? What's the matter with you? So they said, well, they'd had bad dreams. So Joseph said, you tell me your dreams, and I'll tell you what they mean, because he was an expert on telling what the meaning of dreams was. And they started to tell their dreams. When Joseph had heard their dreams, he said, what will happen to you is this. From your dream, in 3 days, Pharaoh will have his birthday, and he'll let you free. And then he said to the other one who'd had a bad dream, he said, in 3 days, Pharaoh will come along, and he'll execute you. He'll hang you on a rope. And that happened. Joseph got the reputation then of being a wise man, because he could tell what dreams meant. What questions would you like to ask about the story? Any? Or is your mind blank?
How come, if Potiphar, or however you say his name,
Potiphar.
Yeah. How come his wife told on Joseph if she liked him?
Well, she was furious because Joseph wouldn't. And you know, if you get furious with the person you like, you're often very difficult, aren't you? If a person you like disappoints you, you get very wild. Isn't that so?
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's a person you like, because you don't expect it. You expect them to do everything you want, and sometimes they won't.
Yeah.
Okay?